This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
For the first time ever, Garth Brooks will be performing at Arrowhead Stadium, the number one selling solo artist in U.S. history and seven-time CMA Entertainer of the Year. We'll play at Arrowhead Event Stage on Saturday, August 7th at 7 p.m. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. Tickets will be available online or on the Ticketmaster app on mobile devices. There are no advanced box office sales and no general ticket sales at the GEH Field at Arrowhead Stadium ticket office in advance of the show. We will actually be giving away Garth Brooks tickets tomorrow on this radio station. Tomorrow is 6:10. So tomorrow I will be hosting with Alex Gold in the morning. Fesco and Bank are going to be hosting from 10 to 2. And during this time slot will be Cody Tapp and Josh Klingler. Speaking of Cody and Kling, let's go to the phone lines right now and catch up with one of them. Cody Tapp joins us on the show today. Cody, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I get to sleep in tonight. What do you mean? West Coast baseball plus afternoon show? That's pretty sweet.
I have no clue when I should go to sleep. And I don't really know what time I need to wake up. Like, I have my routine down quite packed. I've had it set for a very long time. Now I have to wake up tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the morning and come up here to talk to seven people at 6 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't sound very ideal for me.
I feel like three's early. I feel like it's a 3:30, 3:45 alarm situation. A snooze or two, hop in the shower, go to work. Or are you going to do a post-show shower situation? Since you'll be off at 10. That gets kind of tempting to shave the, I don't know, however long it takes to take a shower, 10 minutes off of your morning if you're looking to save a little bit of time. Afternoon's easy. My kids will still wake up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning or 6:30, depending on the day. So I'll be, you know, no matter what, they're still up, I'm still up. I'll just go into work later.
I have just determined from 6 until about 7:30. I'm talking about the NBA because I don't think anybody is up during that time. Like, I don't know a single person that's up at 6:15 in the morning that is, like, really anxious for my hot Chiefs opinion in the middle of June. So I've just determined for the first 90 minutes of the show, as I'm still kind of waking up, I'm just going to talk Paul George the whole time.
Why Paul George? There's a lot of choices. I don't know why you'd lean into that one. But it's also, I mean, someone must be up, right? What's Billy Coons going to do? He's going to leave him hanging? He just waiting for some Royals take, and you're going to stick him with Paul George information?
I mean, I would tell him that he needs to tune in on Friday. That's what I would tell Billy to do. You need to come back on Friday whenever Fesco is back, and then you'll get your normal programming. What did you make of this whole Bobby Witt Jr. thing yesterday? This seems like a whole lot of nothing, but there ain't a whole lot going on today, so we had to make it a thing. I thought he touched home plate.
I think it's fairly obvious he touched, right? Look, there's another angle that's been out there that at least calls into question if he touched it. But if my man Patrick Mahomes says he touched home plate and Bobby Witt Jr., he has nothing to lie about. It's not like that actually being a home run is going to get him to the big leagues faster. I mean, J.J. Piccolo, Dayton Moore, those guys all saw him hit the ball 430 feet, whether or not he touched home plate or not. So I think he touched. I'm confused. How did that much dirt get on there if he's going to wipe the plate off? And my take, honestly, is, as an umpire, Carrington, this is the problem that umpires have with ego. Just don't care. The ball went over the fence. it's a home run, even if the other team, because there's no replay, even if the other team's like, yo, I don't think he touched home plate. You'd be like, nah, it's fine. He touched it. I don't care. Like, come on, man. He hit a home run off you. He didn't touch home plate. Did touch home plate. I don't care. Umpires are incapable of that.
No, I'm in the exact same way. I don't think it really means anything towards his development. You're right. We did see the ball go over the fence. I just thought it was a very weird controversy that my entire timeline just went up yesterday. And I'm like, well, number one, it just doesn't really matter. Like, he hit a home run yesterday. More than anything, I've just been really encouraged by the power really showing up. He got off to a little bit of a slow start, but that was to be expected given his age, experience, and how quirky this minor league season has gone. But the last 2 weeks or so, you're seeing the true power potential, I think, from Witt Jr.
Well, it's a little over that time, right? He's hit 10 home runs in about 101 plate appearances, like 92 at-bats. You got to remember, in a big league season, if you played 162 games, Carrington hit near the top of the order, you'd have 600 at-bats. So that's a 60 home run pace over the last month? Yeah, I think that'll work. I think originally when he came up, I don't think I realized the power he had either, and I'd asked around a little bit. And while this is not the consensus opinion by any means, there are people who think Bobby Witt Jr. has that, like, 40 home run power, not the 25 home run power. And I think you probably are a pretty good witness of that the last month or so. Because the rest of that stuff, you know, power you can't teach, right? Not really. I mean, you can learn to hit a few home runs, but the rest of it seems to be coming around, too. He's not striking out as much. He's walking. I mean, it's not just the power. I feel like I'm encouraged by all of it.
Right now we're talking to Cody Tapp, talking a little bit of Royals baseball. Are you in the same place that I am with the Royals? I just think this is what they are. They're going to be an up and down, hot and cold, yes and no kind of team. And I don't think that's bad for this season. It's a huge improvement over where they've been the last 3 years. I think they're going to win between 79 and 83 games this year. So they've certainly started to trend in the right direction. I just don't know if this team is maybe good enough to ever really get hot, to really put themselves in the playoff picture. They don't do any one thing, I would say, at an incredibly high level. Offensively, defensively, pitching, bullpen. They just aren't great at one thing. So it's hard for me to think that they can win the 88 games or more that's necessary to really compete for a playoff spot.
Bullpen's the only place they have to be elite at. And they're not elite there right now. They got four really good shutdown arms that you'd feel really confident about. But those guys have been, like, mix and matched and hurt some. Like, Zimmer's missed time and Stamont's missed time. And so it doesn't all line itself up that way. But no, they're like a 500 team, which is a massive improvement, I might add. Their last full season, they won less than 60 games. Last year, they would have been pacing for the low 70s if they played a 162-game season. And that required them getting really hot at the end of a 60-game season in order to do it. So I'm okay with it. You know why they're inconsistent, right? They've got three starters in their rotation now. Coar's made one career start. Brady Singer, as much as we just think of him as like the, hey, heady veteran guy, he's made 24. That's it. 24 career big league starts. And Chris Bubich has made 15. So it's just not, you know, when your starting pitching has that level of inexperience, there's going to be some bumps. And I think that that's a lot what we're seeing. The offense has been the way more frustrating part because they aren't consistent at all. And they're established full of veterans.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You mentioned the offense, and certainly they have their issues. But to me, the holes in the lineup are maybe the more concerning, where this year you've got nothing, I would say, from three offensive contributors that you were counting on. Adalberto Mondesi, just based on not being there, has given you nothing so far this season. Jorge Soler's been bad this season and also playing every day. And Hunter Dozier, just everything that can go wrong has gone wrong with him, that this offense isn't good enough on the high end to carry how bad the back end has been.
What's weird about it is, and that's absolutely right, what's weird about it is they're 16th in Major League Baseball in runs scored, considering runs per game, considering all of those things you just mentioned, Carrington. I don't know if you knew this, but last year they finished in the bottom five. The year before that, an offense, they finished in the bottom five. The year before that, they also finished in the bottom five. So somehow, despite the fact they have three black holes in their offense, like you mentioned, they're a top half offensive team in baseball? So, like, that's why I'm, like, kind of encouraged. Like, next year, whoever is Jorge Soler, because it ain't going to be him, is going to have a better offensive year than Jorge Soler has had this year. Dozier can't have a worse offensive year next year than he's had this year. And then you and I can take our best guesses on Mondesi or what the hell happens there. But at least Bobby Witt Jr. would be in the mix in that scenario. So they're going to be a better offensive team next year, even if they don't add anybody, just by sheer law of averages. Because Benintendi is hitting career averages, not above his head. Witt's a little below average. Nobody's doing something where you're like, wow, look at this incredible run he's on, other than maybe Salvador Perez. And he's been doing that for like a 2.5 year stretch now.
Cody, if I set the over-under on Royals All-Stars at 1.5, would you take the over or the under?
Now, Sal's a lock. God, I mean, then I got to count on a bullpen guy. And the only time bullpen guys get it is when your team stinks and you get one single All-Star. Royals had a lot of years where, you know, like, maybe the Royals All-Star this year will be Mike McDougal.
He made it back in 03.
I know.
He made it.
Well, and, you know, Ken Harvey around that time was the only guy to both make an All-Star game and be sent down to the minors in the same year. So bleak times. I think I'd take the over, but I don't feel good about it. Because the other question is, like, who's the other guy? Nobody has the regular name recognition. So I'm really just banking on, like, Witt or one of the bullpen arms.
Cody, do you think maybe one of baseball's biggest problems is sort of highlighted in Shohei Ohtani? Because I'm just trying to think, if football had a player like him, if the NBA had a player like him, or college football or basketball, it would be everywhere. Like, you remember when Trae Young was at Oklahoma? I mean, ESPN would do Trae Watch when it came to certain games. Like, they were certainly building up a future star. I don't know if you could hit a ball harder or farther than Shohei Ohtani. Why he's not the most popular player in baseball with everything he can do is somewhat mind-blowing to me.
You know, this is... He is followed. People do these whole big things. Like, when he was supposed to pitch in Kansas City this last, you know, a couple of years ago, he ended up getting bumped. I got tickets specifically to go watch Shohei Ohtani play. And I'm a Royals fan. So, you know, I made that decision knowing, or at least thinking, he was going to start. He didn't. But, you know, I at least got to see him, I guess, play in the field. The problem is not that people aren't interested in his talent, because he's all over for the most part. SportsCenter shows highlights of hitting the ball 470 feet like last night, and they talk about it, and they send a lot of extra people to follow him. But their stars, now Shohei Ohtani and on the same team Mike Trout, not for the limelight. You need a showy superstar. Like, you mentioned Trae Young or any of those other NBA guys you might remember, like Steph Curry, LeBron, and then going through the NFL and stuff. Those guys do that and then do it with swagger. It'd be better for baseball if, like, Acuna Jr., who's also kind of a shy kid, but, you know, like, the right guy with the right attitude. Like, it was good for baseball when Tim Anderson was doing incredible things and then showboating everybody. They need that kind of star. The problem is the homegrown star versus Shohei Ohtani, who they get to see do these incredible things, but not hear from him, you know, being that big gregarious character or being a villain. Those are the things sports love.
That is my guy, Cody Tapp, joining us on the show today. You'll be able to hear Cody Tapp for 4 hours tomorrow during this time slot. Someone just texted in, Cody, please don't talk about the NBA. I'm really looking forward to you being on the show. Talk about the Chiefs. So I'm here to tell you, you have 4 hours of OTAs coming up for you. I'm sure you can't ready to break down Byron Pringle and how much he's going to help this offense in September.
Boy, people love Byron Pringle.
They
just
do.
Just a quick one before I get out of here. It ain't Byron Pringle. That ain't the answer.
That is our guy, Cody Tapp. Thanks, Cody.
Thanks.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.